And here we go again. The cinema's closed and we're back to virtual releases. Tonight we'll be speaking about Tyler Norwood, who's bringing us Robin's Wish, a documentary about the fascinating man that was Robin Williams, sadly died in 2014, and released today on Netflix, Pieces of a Woman, which stars Vanessa Kirby, Shia LaBeouf, struggling to come to terms with tragedy. Donald Clark, Ruth Barton have been looking at the films first, and they join me now. We'll start with Pieces of a Woman, Ruth. I don't know how you can describe the central performance here of Vanessa Kirby, but it's her story, essentially. What's the basic setup here?
Well, with spoiler alert, it's... so she's... she's with her partner, who's played by Shia LaBeouf. They're due their first baby, and they've decided on a home birth. She lives in Boston, though the film is actually shot in Montreal, and that setting is quite important to it. The midwife that they've booked can't make it, so the hospital sends out a replacement, who's played by Molly Parker. Things go wrong. The baby dies shortly after being delivered. And so this sets in train a whole series of events.
And even though you said spoiler alert, that's the opening gambit of the movie.
It isn't. I mean, I suppose what you have to say is there's about 30... I actually timed it. There's 30 minutes before the credits come up. And that pre-credit sequence of 30 minutes is nearly entirely taken up with what is pretty much a real-time giving birth sequence. And it's graphic.
And I saw Vanessa Kirby speaking about this, Donald, on the Graham Norton show, and I think there were two takes they did of this, and they did them as practically continuous takes, so that, you know, they might have had to stop and start very briefly, but there was no kind of, we'll do a little bit now, we'll do another bit tomorrow. It has that real sense of reality in it from the very beginning, realness.
It does. I mean, that's always been... I mean, people are sometimes a bit dubious about the notion of excessive single takes, that they're a bit showy, and there's a suggestion that perhaps the director is kind of, you know, grandstanding for the audience. But I think the single shot here really does have significance, because it gets across all kinds of things about how time progresses whenever you're under severe cases of stress. You get a better sense of the desperation, you get a better sense of the urgency. You also get a sense of how, during those sort of crises, time sometimes contracts and sometimes dilates. You know, certain seconds seem to go on forever, and certain seconds seem to rush by in a panic. And it's a funny thing, as Ruth was saying, that trivial point, it sounds like we're giving away an awful lot of the film. This all happens before the credits arrive, which is after 30 minutes. I don't know if that's a record for a title arriving on the screen full 30 minutes, quarter way into the film, but I haven't looked that up, but I'll certainly be filing it away for future quizzes. But I think it's hard to imagine how this film would look if you had different actors in it. It's one of those films that's so dominated by three performances, Shia LaBeouf, Ellen Burstyn in particular, Vanessa Kirby, that's impossible to kind of consider anything else. We do tend to often reduce ourselves to referencing early 1970s American cinema as if that's our last measure of a certain type of quality. But there's no getting away, I think, from those great performances by Gina Rowlands in John Cassavetes' work from that era, or indeed anything by Ellen Burstyn herself, who co-stars here as the principal character's mother. I think it's a really terrific performance. She hits every key with just the right force, if you can use a musical analogy. In that early sequence, during the home birth that goes wrong, she gets a chance to do proper physical acting, which she grasps with real enthusiasm. And it requires sort of the gifts of an athlete or a dancer to communicate all that pain and anguish, those knotted limbs and contorted faces. And there's a middle section where she gets to do these great duels with the surrounding actors, most notably Ellen Burstyn, which kind of almost feels like something from Ingmar Bergman, those great duels with Liv Ullmann or Harry Anderson or any of those actors. And then at the end, she has one of the great set pieces that all actors love. She gets a courtroom scene. We won't give any more details.
But
there's a courtroom sequence, which is what actors just love, because you have an opportunity to be just yourself in front of the camera.
A lot of shots.
She eats that up alive.
A lot of real close-ups of her face in that. But let's go to the middle section that you spoke about there, where she has several kind of tete-a-tetes, both with her mother and with her husband, the Shia LaBeouf character, but it's the one with the mother that I want to play, Ellen Burstyn and Vanessa Kirby. And the mother's worried whether the daughter is actually dealing with the loss that she's been through.
Her incompetence.
Is this about money?
No.
Is it about what people think?
It's about you. It's about you having to face this.
I am facing it! I am facing this!
Well, I don't think you are. We need some justice here.
No, you need. That is what you want. That is what you need. That is your way. That is not my way. That is what you need.
Martha, if you had done it my way, you'd be holding your baby in your arms right now.
You know what? You're ashamed. You are so ashamed of me. You're ashamed because I failed. Oh, what a disgrace. Oh, what a disgrace. I failed.
Oh, even listening back to it there, I haven't watched the film a couple of times actually at this stage. Pieces of a Woman, the Ellen Burstyn and Vanessa Kirby there as mother and daughter in a scene from that film. Ruth Barton, it's hugely upsetting and hugely difficult to watch, but for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I mean, that's a Gaspar-lad moment where the mother says, you know, if you'd done what I'd told you, you'd be holding your baby in your arms. You think, oh no, you couldn't say that. But I think it rings very true, because there is, I mean, at the heart of this, a really interesting controlling relationship, and it centres around Ellen Burstyn, who, as you know, as it suggests, well, she's moneyed, you know, she's old money of some sort, and I mean, so therefore, so is Martha, her daughter, and Sean isn't. So a lot of it's about the control that she exercises through her financial superiority, if you like. And although she says, oh, this isn't about money, you have to always ask yourself, how much is the court case that they do bring? I mean, they bring a court case against the midwife for failing to save the baby. And so you're always asking yourself, is it about money or is it about, you know, status or who you are?
And Sean, the character you're speaking there is the Shia LaBeouf. That's the husband's character who's in the midst of that. But as we listen to that clip, it is all fire and there's a lot of energy in there. LaBeouf maybe a little bit more withdrawn in his reactions at times, Donald. But there is a melodramatic feel to this at times. Is that problematic?
There is, and some critics have been a bit uneasy about the fact that it is perhaps somewhat schematic and somewhat melodramatic. It certainly gives all the actors set pieces to exercise their particular talents. And certainly the film is laid out in pattern that moves from, as we said before, one schema to another schema to a third schema, which is very, very tightly structured in a way that life rarely is. But, I mean, that didn't worry me very much. You know, this is a film. It's not real life, nor is it pretending to be, you know, neorealism or anything. It originated as a play. And when you sometimes say you can see that in a film, that's often a bad thing. I don't mean that so much in this case. I simply mean that you can see that the roots for which it came from the drama to cinema. You can see that it stands or falls by its clashes between great acting talents. And I think that's going to prove useful for Netflix, who, to get vulgar about this momentarily, have been struggling over the last few years to finally get themselves noticed at the Oscars, and they've won a few here and there. And I think they're going to get two Oscar nominations here pretty comfortably.
Vanessa Kirby and Ellen Burstyn. Okay, stars from you, Donald.
Four comfortably.
And what are you saying, Ruth?
I'm actually in the other camp. I think it hits too many melodramatic notes, and I also there seem to be some too many plot points stuck into it, and too many characters. Suzanne, for instance, the lawyer, seemed to me to be extraneous. I mean, I liked it very much, but it was a 3.5 for me. I just couldn't reach that 4.
All right, that's Piece of a Woman, available on Netflix right now. Let's move on then to Robin's Wish, feature documentary which explores the death of the beloved actor in 2014 and the role that the undiagnosed condition of Lewy body dementia played in his death. Ruth, this is not a retrospective of Robin Williams' wonderful comic career. This really is a look at, it's a forensic examination of how he died.
It is, I didn't know what it was about before I watched it, so I was a little disappointed because I'd been expecting, I'd been expecting a documentary about Robin Williams with loads and loads of clips of his best moments. And if you expect that, you are going to be disappointed. So you really have to kind of refocus. As you say, this is almost like a kind of educational film in a sense, because it is all about this form of dementia, as you say, Lewy body dementia, which he had at his death but didn't know that he had. And so this brings on all kinds of symptoms like anxiety, memory loss, hallucinations, insomnia, and or something that is quite like Parkinson's. So he was told he had Parkinson's, but he suspected he had dementia, but he didn't know. And so what the film is doing is saying, OK, now that we know that he had dementia, this rare form of dementia, let's look back over his last years and see how it manifested itself. And they do that by interviewing the people who worked with him in his last films, his last TV, but very particularly his widow, Susan Schneider-Williams.
Well, let's listen to her then, speaking of her husband.
After he left, in his bedside table, there was a few items, just a few things. And every once in a while, I would pull that drawer open when I missed him and just wanted him to tell me something. I opened up that book and I was like, wow. When we were talking about what we wanted to be able to leave as our legacy. And for Robin, it was that he wanted to help people be less afraid.
And there we go, Susan Schneider-Williams in a clip there from Robin's Wish. Donald Clark, this is dealing obviously around the difficult subject of suicide as part of this story here. And I suppose the stigma around suicide, because there's a side here that they're very keen to push the suicide side, a part of the story, almost to one side.
Yeah, I mean, it's a campaigning documentary in a sense. It has a purpose, clearly shot in relatively low budget, which is interesting given that it comes from a family with quite a lot of money. But but I think that's right. There's a purpose here. And the purpose here, to a large extent, is to shake off a lot of the yelled headlines that gathered around Robin Williams after his death. There was an awful lot of, blaming to an extent, but also a great deal of sentimentality gathered around this. A lot of misconceptions around it. A lot of talk about the clown who cried, that sort of stuff that you get dragged up whenever people discuss how difficult comedy can be on psychologically delicate people. It doesn't exactly come up with a simple solution to why he killed himself, but it does demonstrate that this real story is both simpler and more complicated.
And also,
we can't draw simple conclusions, but his widow wants to point out that people were writing all around this without knowing the facts, and the facts were that he had this degenerative condition related to Alzheimer's.
And that's important within that story. The other aspect of this is here, Ruth, it's essentially talking heads. Do we get a sense of the man outside of that comic world, if you like, or outside of that comic genius that is so often spoken about?
Yeah, I mean, what people repeatedly say is what a kind man he was, what a sensitive man he was. There's actually lovely archival footage of Christopher Reeves speaking of how loyal Robin Williams was to him after his own accident, that led to his paralysis. And so there are those kind of moments. And also one of the things about it that the film, repeatedly says is the reason he survived, if you like, or got so far with this disorder was that he was so intelligent that he had so much left of his brain still after it was being eaten away that he could function. And you see that intelligence coming through as well.
And thanks for battling the music in the background there. That's seeping through from elsewhere, I think, Ruth. So overall, is the documentary worth seeing, even though it isn't that retrospective that perhaps many people might be looking for when it comes to Robin Williams? You first, Donald, and quickly with stars on it.
I think it is. I mean, it's a humble film. It has, as I say, it has a particular purpose in mind. It achieves that quite nicely. You don't get a huge picture. You get some nice stuff as well on his home life in Marin County.
Yeah.
Though they do rather overstress their ordinariness, I think, as neighbours, for some people who are clearly enormously wealthy.
They have a few bob to be ordinary with.
Exactly.
Stars.
But a sincere film, and I give it 3 stars.
Three from you. What are you saying, Ruth?
Yeah, three from me as well. Worthy, and it's kind of okay.
All right. Tyler Norwood, the director there, Robin's Wish, the second film we were speaking about, and Pieces of a Woman, the first, that Donald Clark and Ruth Barton were reviewing for us on this Thursday evening, bringing us to the end of tonight's programme. Paula Shields, Liam Murphy researched, Janice Furphy was the broadcast coordinator, Kieran Dunn was on sound this evening, and tonight's programme produced by Kay Sheehy. Talk to you tomorrow night at 7.